I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. Today I'm speaking with Himaja Matharam, a security researcher at security firm Sensis. We're going to be discussing the significance of a recent study by Sensis that found that more than 14,000 IPs publicly expose healthcare-related devices and applications on the internet, and how these exposures raise the risk of unauthorized access and exploitation. So, for starters, please tell us what you examined and what you were looking for, and then what you found.
So Sensis is a internet intelligence platform. And what that means is we have one of the most comprehensive views of the public internet. We're scanning ports that a lot of other scanners don't, like non-standard ports and really high ports. And so when I embarked on this research, what I wanted to do was to leverage that to basically approach finding healthcare devices, medical devices, the Internet of Healthcare things from the perspective of what a malicious scanner might find, what a malicious actor might be most easily able to breach if they were just browsing the public internet and hitting ports. And so when I did that, it was unfortunately slash fortunately very easy to discover that these 14,000 hosts that were exposing various types of healthcare devices, healthcare data, legacy protocols, login interfaces, finding these things was not that difficult. And I wanted to publish these findings mostly to raise awareness about that and about the fact that these things are just kind of sitting ducks. And I doubt that the people who own them are really even truly aware that they have them exposed and that they're unnecessarily expanding their risk of attack.
I understand that about 50% of the exposed hosts were located in the US, followed by nearly 11% in India, and that also the open DICOM ports and DICOM-enabled web interfaces intended for exchanging and viewing medical images accounted for about 36% of the exposures, with about 5,100 hosts publicly exposing these systems. Why are these DICOM exposures so concerning, and why do you think that's happening?
So the DICOM exposures were so concerning because DICOM is a legacy protocol. It is over 30 years old. It was not designed for security. It was designed for ease of access, which is oftentimes at odds with security, right? And there are multiple published exploits in DICOM, ways to embed malware, ways to, inject data, ways to use it as a actually an initial access point for entry into a network and for lateral access. I suspect that these exposures make up such a large chunk. They made up over a third of the total exposures that we found because they're often spoken by these really old hardware systems, these old medical imaging scanners and radiology servers that are honestly probably not that high on the priority list for a security admin working in healthcare or a healthcare IT admin. What they're mostly worried about are, printers, web servers, things that are essential to the running of the hospital, things that clinicians are constantly having trouble with and trying to get access to. Whereas kind of these older, like proprietary medical devices and hardware are typically kind of a niche thing, and I suspect not the most pressing concern that they're hearing about every day from the people working with them.
Now, I also understand that electronic medical records or EHRs, electronic health record systems that store and manage these electronic health records at healthcare entities, represent the second largest exposure type at about 28%, with about 4,031 interfaces publicly available. What makes those sorts of exposures so concerning, and why do you think that's happening?
So EMR and EHR systems are designed to be publicly accessible, right? They're designed to be available to patients so that they can log in and view their records, and they're designed to be available to clinicians so that they can view those records, enter in data, exchange them with other hospitals. However, when those login face interfaces are sitting out on the public internet for anybody to see, and when that interface allows things like credential brute forcing attempts, or when those interfaces don't use encryption when people log in, any sort of small encryption or authentication weakness in that one interface can potentially put vast amounts of sensitive personal health data at risk. And that's why the exposures are so concerning and why they're so targeted in attacks, is because they need to be much more robust and much more protected than they currently are when they're sitting out there.
So, with that said, what can healthcare entities and the medical device makers, the vendors of these EHRs, so on and so forth, what should they be doing to try to better protect, these IP exposures, especially in cases where, the EMRs, they're used for legitimate reasons, people to log in and share clinical information with, doctor between doctor, doctor between patients. What needs to be done?
So, healthcare is a very conservative industry. And what I mean when I say conservative is they're very resistant to change, right? A lot of these operations from day to day are critical, and they can't afford any large downtime to do massive overhauls of their entire infrastructure. And that's not really what we need here either. What we need is a prioritization and a recognition of the business value of basic fundamental security protocols that will later save millions and possibly more in costs from a severe breach, which we're seeing happen every day. Like the OCR list of reported breaches grows longer each and every day. And so what I would say the two most important fundamental security practices when choosing an EMR or EHR to software to choose, or when choosing what to prioritize when it comes to securing your network, is encryption and multi-factor authentication. Because those are the two things that really protect credentials the most. They're not silver bullets, but they go a long way. And I think that those are ensuring that those are in place on both cloud and on on-premise environments are absolutely non-negotiable, especially considering the HIPAA-protected data that's at stake here.
And you were able to find these 14,000 exposed IP. What do you think is the, the main problems here with this?
I cannot stress that if we, as a benign internet scanner, were able to very easily find these, it would be trivial for an even amateur threat actor who's using an internet scanner or a sophisticated, nation-state actor with more resources than we do trying to find these. Obviously, simply finding an exposure does not mean that a breach will happen, but given kind of the misconfigurations and the weak encryption and authentication we also observed along with these exposures, definitely lowers the barrier to entry. And so, I mean, we're seeing it all the time. I think it's almost a question of when, not if, some of these become initial access points for data breaches, not to cause unnecessary, FUD, but I see it happening in the news every single time. And then when I scroll to look at, oh, how did they gain access? It's almost always, stolen credentials used in a login interface, finding like an old legacy system that has default, admin. Username and password, and gaining access that way. The threat actors are not really using sophisticated or mind-blowing methods here. They're using very easy, simple, dated methods of entry, but they're able to do that because these exposures are so far behind in implementing, the basics that I mentioned, authentication and encryption. And I think we will continue to see, that list of reported breaches reported to the OCR and HHS continue until we figure out how to make clear the business value of reducing these exposures, implementing MFA at the risk of continuing to see these breaches continue.
Thanks, Himaja. I've been speaking to Himaja Matharam. I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.